Welcome back to Season 2 with Time with the Tackers. I'm James Houghton.
I'm Chris Borsma.
You know, when we started this podcast, Chris, originally, we used to stress a lot about the intro and the outro and stuff like that. And, you know, now that we're doing this podcast again, I don't want to stress about this intro and outro stuff anymore. It's just like, welcome. We're going to talk about cool stuff and we're going to have fun. Chris and I haven't talked about anything that we're going to talk about today. And, you know, we'll probably give you guys a little recap of what's been going on with the cars and stuff like that and what we're planning on doing for this season. But we are going to stress less and try to have more fun. We have some great drivers and builders lined up in the coming episodes. And, you know, after 2 years, it's good to be back. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to just have more of a relaxed atmosphere and just kind of get to chat with a bunch of our fellow competitors and different people in the industry. And, you know, we've been away for quite a long time. I'm excited to kind of get back to it and start talking again.
The cars have changed a lot since we last did a podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it before. We think it's about like a 2-year hiatus, somewhere around there. And when I was going back and looking at some of the old episodes, I think we started at the end of the 2017 season. And then now here we are in 2020 with very different cars. I mean, you have more than one car now, and even my car is...
I'm not even technically a Time Attack car owner anymore, but still a driver, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. You have 2 Time Attack cars that you drive and a GLTC car now, and, you know, the Civic is still my primary car. And again, yeah, it's very different from where we came from. And it's been exciting to see how the sport of Time Attack has changed over the last 2 years. And especially now with GLTC and some of these other forms of grassroots motorsports starting to grow within our community, I think it's a really exciting time, to be honest.
I agree 100%. It's for those that don't necessarily follow our social medias that much, but did listen to the episodes originally. I doubt that there's that many people, but as far as the Integra goes. Early on in the 2018 season, we decided to make a last minute decision to turbo the car, working with Garrett, of course. Of course, lots of growing pains with that, but, towards the middle of the 2019 season, I feel like we really started to get everything coming together. You know, we started to get the reliability a little better and just starting to figure out, you know, really what worked and what didn't. And, ended up with some pretty fast laps towards the end of 2019. So that car is under a major rebuild right now, which we'll update on what his car, what he's been doing. And
how much yet as part of that 2018 season? Because that was, I think you slept probably the least I've ever seen somebody sleep in the summer in a Time Attack season that year. That was pretty crazy. Jim?
Sorry, I'm back. I'm back. I lost connection for a second. I'm back.
You're back.
Since I turned it over to you, I didn't hear anything, Chris, but just roll with the punches. Send it.
Just roll with the punches. So I just said, how many gray hairs did you get as part of that 2018 season? Oh, I don't think you really slept at all that summer.
my hair started falling out a little bit. We seem to have been able to slow down the hair falling out. I got lots of gray hairs.
I gained
a bunch of weight in 2018, lost back in 2019. it's been a hell of a ride, but man, that car is a wild ride now. And when we start discussing some of the changes it's going through, I think that car is going to be really rowdy in 2020, whenever we get around to that 2020 season.
Yeah, that's a whole bunch of uncertainty there. I mean, from our perspective, on the Civic side of things, we stopped being incremental, and we've decided to kind of take some bigger jumps. And I was already turbocharged, so I didn't have a big, huge kind of changeover like Jim did. But we did have a pretty significant changeover for the 2019 season, And we wound up coming out with, you know, a car that was drastically different than anything that I had driven before. It was rowdy. It made a lot of power. It was, again, on a Garrett turbo, but a much larger, you know, setup that we had ever had before. More aero, more everything, more. And we spent a lot of time figuring that out. And that was a huge learning opportunity and growth opportunity. And, you know, the teams kind of rallied around, you know, solving a lot of the problems that we had. And, you know, now as we head into the 2020 season, we're trying to kind of just iterate a little bit on what we already had, not reinventing the wheel again, and trying to come out with something a little bit more refined and take some of the things that we learned and hopefully kind of build on that. And it's been crazy. I mean, it definitely, I never would have thought in my rinky dinky little Honda Civic that we'd ever have a situation where we were going, you know, 165, 170 mile an hour on track. And yeah, we did that multiple times this year. So that was pretty cool.
And for me, as the aero package has changed on the Integra, I know the first time I went like high 150s at Road Atlanta, I was cringing almost going through the kink near the end of the back straight. And in the 2019 season, it was completely different, you know, as the car, you know, has thousands of pounds of downforce and stuff like that. Now
it doesn't feel crazy.
It's crazy. It really like, doesn't. You know, all I am is I'm looking for, you know, towards my breaking point for 10. I'm not even thinking about turn 9 anymore. I go through there at 170, I shouldn't say 170 because it's still accelerating past that point, but you know, mid 160s at that point. And, and I'm not even really, you know, thinking about it, considering it or anything. And I used to cringe going through turn 9. So,
well, I remember the first time we went, like, as it, you know, when I was still kind of a street car and I had my tiny little 3-inch, you know, splitter blade. And the first time I came through 9, the car didn't want to turn. It really was an actual turn. And I was probably only going 135, maybe 140 mile an hour at that point. But because the car had no downforce, it just wanted to lift through there. And it was sketchy. It was, you know, you're coming down the hill and, you know, through this little kink, it's a pretty daunting corner. And then, yeah, this year, you know, we were approaching, I think our top that we did at Road Atlanta was like 165, 166 mile an hour. And 9 is not really a kink anymore. You kind of come through there and it's just like, oh, it doesn't really feel all that crazy. You're just looking for your, you know, your braking marker and trying to get that right. And it's amazing what that downforce can really do and how it can make the car just more comfortable to drive less.
And as we've learned more about downforce too over the last few years, you know, I feel like our learning curve about downforce and aero balance and chassis balance and everything like that has been expedited over the last couple of years. And, you know, looking back now, you know, I wouldn't be one bit surprised if the rear wing was doing so much more than that small front flat splitter that you had, you know, back in 2015, that, you know, it was actually almost not lifting the car necessarily, but, you know, unloading the front, because it was probably, you know, the front splitter was probably doing a very, very small amount. And, you know, with some of the 2D wings on the market now cranked up, you know, that rear wing and diffuser and all that stuff might have been making enough downforce that it was, you know, really kind of trying to pick up the, you know, pick up, unload the front tires. So it's, we've learned a lot. There's still a ton more to learn, but I do feel like the last couple of years we definitely learned, you know, more than the graph was trending to over the first few years, right? I feel like the first few years we were kind of complacent. We weren't changing some things that much. We were kind of, well, this works, so we're going to keep going on it. And I feel like the last two seasons we really pushed our boundaries and learned to, you know, think and work outside the box. And I feel like the speed, you know, that we've been showing has really, you know, shown what we've learned.
Well, and it's crazy because, you know, when we started in Time Attack, the level of change in the cars from season to season was small. I mean, at the time it felt big, but when you really kind of look back on it, you know, some of the major changes that were happening from season to season were, you know, pretty minimalistic in comparison to what we see now. And then, you know, as things have just been accelerating, it just gets more and more, and the level of competition is getting higher and higher. You know, there's, you have to do some of these big drastic changes, even throughout some of the season, to really be competitive and stay at that kind of bleeding edge of, you know, being competitive in time attack. And that's been exciting to be part of that, and even just see it happening around us. I look at the cars, you know, when we're at some of these events and you walk up and down the pit, and it's unbelievable to see the level that these cars are at, even at a grassroots level. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Even some of the street and the street mod cars and stuff like that, you know, some of them are, there's still not many that are being built to the max, but they're getting closer and closer all the time. A couple of years ago, you know, there was still a lot of cars that were getting, you know, significant street time, street driving time in street mod. And now, you know, a lot of those cars, yes, some of them, like Alex Moss, is doing one lap of America, but, you know, he's not driving to and from work or every day or anything like that, right? Like, these are getting more and more to be dedicated race cars all the time. And you know, it's cool in some ways, it was cool in other ways before, but I think if you're going to truly build a car to the max of the rules, you know, once you're past street and, you know, in grid life, in the grid life rule book, or enthusiast in the GTA rule book, I think once you're past that class, you're kind of getting out of that, you know, I'm going to drive this car to work deal. If you're going to, you know, try to build that car to podium and set records, you know, every time you're out.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the level of competition is, especially in street mod and some of the lower classes, is just getting unreal. I mean, the number of cars that they have in each of the categories is, you know, fairly high, and the margin, you know, of victory is usually very, very close. And it's crazy to see, because it, from every weekend, you never know who's really going to be a front runner. And especially now, I guess one of the big changes that's happened, you know, with time attack since when we started, where the drivetrains were, you know, kind of split apart, right? And everybody had, you know, you had your street front wheel drive class, and, you know, all wheel drive was in their class. Now everything's kind of condensed down. And you never really know from track to track who's really going to have an advantage. There's definitely platforms that suit certain tracks that we go to a little bit more than others. And that really kind of plays into that overall strategy in terms of what people are doing. And it's really cool. It's been fun to watch and see. And, you know, it's been great for the sport, I think, of having the car counts a lot higher than, you know, what we were seeing when we were starting out. And that level of competition is just getting insane. It really is pretty cool.
Well, you say about those records being so close, my most recent memory of that is at the last round of Grid Life, which was, I guess, technically the first round of the 2020 season, when Alex Moss and Dewey were trading records back and forth in street mod at Gingerman. And that was just the coolest to see. So you kind of know you're getting a little bit towards the pointy end of the rule book with these cars when two cars like that start trading records back and forth. You know, a while ago, it would be one person typically, and you know, they would be kind of dropping the hammer on the rest of the competition. But when you start to see guys trading records session after session, I think that record was broken at least four times over the course of that weekend. Yeah. That's what we want to see.
Yeah, 100%. I think it makes things a lot more interesting. And, you know, even for you know, track mod, which is the class, you know, track mod limited, depending on whether you're Grid Life or global time attack, you know, that class has gotten super competitive. Whereas, you know, when I started out in that class, there probably was, you know, less people running. And now, like, you look at, you know, all the Corvettes that are out there, you know, you have Jeremy Swenson, Ferris, and, you know, you have the Viper from Luke McGrew, and all of these, you know, super fast, very competitive cars, but we're all very close to one another, which is, you know, really very kind of counterintuitive when you think about it, right? But it's a lot different.
And even at all the tracks, they're very close.
Yeah.
The shocking thing to me is that you'd think that there'd be certain tracks where, you know, you would have more of a advantage in certain tracks where they would have more of an advantage. But it's funny, at the end of the day, everywhere you go, it's pretty close.
Yeah. You know, even Joel shows up with his S2000, you know, turbocharged S2000 every now and then, and whips all of our butts kind of out of nowhere. And, you know, it's pretty cool to see how all these cars can actually be very competitive and close to one another. It's definitely, you know, for my own build, I think we probably wouldn't have been advancing the car as much if we situation, if they still had the drivetrain split out. There's just not a lot of front wheel drive cars. And I think it would have led to a lot more people kind of just resting on the laurels a little bit and just kind of sitting back and saying, oh, you know what? Hey, I'm fast. I don't really need to go that much faster. But now when it's like, hey, I got to take my little Honda Civic and compete against, you know, a Viper ACR or, you know, a Corvette ZR1 or something like that, you know, in the hands of competent, really fantastic drivers, it just pushes you that little extra bit more to be like, yeah, you know what? Just going to do a little bit. We're going to go, you know, try to re-architect and redesign everything and try to beat these guys. And yeah, that's been nice to be part of that.
Well, speaking of redesign everything, the Integra is in quite a state right now, but I am very excited to drive that car once again. At the end of the 2019 season, when we started working with Northern Speed, new time attack organization in Canada, they really wanted to, you know, take this car, help take this car to the next level. So at the end of the 2019 season, after the last round of Gingerman, it went to Unit 2 fabrication, and it started to get stripped. And then all of a sudden it got really stripped. And that car ended up, the Integra, you know, ended up on a rotisserie, fully sandblasted, roof cut off, huge tunnels coming out of the back of the front wheel wells, similar to what Life and Professional Awesome and teams like that have done. But, you know, some of those cars were not built, you know, from scratch for those things. Life was, but I don't know if they, you know, due to chassis constrictions and stuff like that, if they went in kind of as far as, you know, kind of was legally allowed. And we really looked at the rule book and said, if this car is going to go to this state and it's going to be blasted and it's going to have, you know, a new cage and everything like that, you know, we're not going to take it part of the way. With the way the front wing is designed on the Integra, it is forcing a ton of air in the front wheel wells, and that air gets super, super turbulent in there because it can't escape. So when Joe from Stimtech was doing the CFD on the revisions for that car for this year, he tested a big, you know, a big tunnel in there with some aero features to keep the air clean coming out of there and stuff like that. And he didn't actually tell me how much more downforce that the front wing made, because, you know, numbers can be, it can be tough sometimes, right? You know, net, gross, you know, different companies and people talking about different numbers. But he said the front wing went crazy when he designed that tunnel in there. He's like, it's going to be significant. It's going to be very noticeable. And he's like, you're really going to like driving it. So,
well, it's one of those, one of those things too, right? Where again, the drivetrain comes into it, right? Like Life and some of these other cars, you know, they're all wheel drive platforms, you know, the packaging is a lot trickier for them. Whereas probably with the front wheel drive, I would imagine it's easier to fit some of those tunnels in because you don't have a lot of stuff out the back, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of more trade-off in kind of picking your drivetrain actually can kind of come to an advantage, you know, when you're building the cars.
So those, you know, tunnels, cutaways, whatever you want to call it, you know, most of the rocker panels no longer in existence. But it's, you know, kind of building on, you know, what we're talking about there. Those areas are cut so far now that that car is going to become, I'm not going to call it center drive, but we'll call it center-ish drive, because there's no space, basically no spot for your feet anymore in the front of the car. It's going to change. It's going to really change the way that the cage is built in that car, because of, you know, some of that area not existing. But you know, with some of the changes that are coming to that that car, I'm very excited. New rear quarter panels. We decided not to go carbon with the rear quarter panels just because of the way they were being built and timeline and cost and everything like that. But Alex from Spade Sport has done the roof, which leads us to the next kind of change, is that the roof is going to be just a hair shy of 3 inches lower. And other teams in the past that have taken advantage of the 3-inch roof chop rule have typically kind of kept the pillars on the same angles, on the same angle, and thus the roof has had to get larger, usually longer and wider to meet that 3-inch rule. In our case, we decided to keep the roof panel the same size as original and bring the pillars down and in towards that roof panel. So it has quite a crazy roof line to it. It has a really crazy look when you look at it from the back, because those C pillars are laid, you know, so far in to meet where that roof is. She's going to be pretty wild. It's going to be, you know, significantly more downforce than it was before. Less drag, lighter, more rigid. We're pretty excited about it.
It sounds like it's going to be pretty extreme. I mean, are you even going to call it an Integra anymore? I mean, how much Honda is really left there at the end of the day?
I mean, it's still going to have OEM pickup points in it all the way around. It's going to have stock subframe in it for now. So, you know, there's still a lot. You know, the car's got stock front lower control arms in it still. It's got stock trailing arms in it and stuff like that. So, you know, in some ways, yes, it's crazy how little is left, but in other ways, it's crazy how much is still there. Like, you know, still has a factory steering rack in it and still has factory, you know, tie rod ends in it and stuff like that. So as much as there is a ton of stuff changed, it's shocking how much is still there. So one other thing that I'm really excited about with that car that hasn't been done to this degree. Some cars have done, you know, smaller shark fins before on the roof, but never to this point where we're going almost all the way to the windshield, and it's like 3 inches up above the roof line and all the way back to the rear wing with the shark fin, very LMP1-esque. Right. And the thought process behind that for me is that in a rear or an all-wheel drive car, those rear tires are doing so much more work. They have to apply power, and you have to have a lot of load, especially in a rear wheel drive car, you know, to put down 800, 900, 1,000 wheel horsepower, like some of these time attack cars are now. And in Australia, even more than that, you know, some of those cars, you know, I don't know what Hammerhead is making, but to go 310 kilometers an hour on the front straight at SMSP, that car is making over 1,000 wheel horsepower, sure, I would say. Sure. So those cars need crazy, you know, crazy underbody, crazy diffusers, crazy rear wings to load those rear tires enough that they can put that power down to the ground effectively. A front wheel drive car is a very, very different scenario. You know, the only job of those rear tires is to apply some braking, which is not much because of, you know, how the load is under braking, and just naturally there's just not a lot of weight back there. And their main job back there is to avoid, you know, oversteer and rotation. So the fact of going with this giant shark fin on this car, I think this could be very exciting, because that's going to do, you know, a crazy job. You know, one that large is going to do a crazy job of reducing rotation. And I'm very excited. I'm probably I'm for sure the most excited as I've ever been to drive that car when it's, you know, when it's finished. I do think that some of the records that we've been struggling, you know, that we've gotten really close to some of our goals, but we just haven't been, you know, able to get there due to sometimes reliability and sometimes just having, you know, everything working right on the right day. I do think that this time around, everything is going to come together.
It definitely sounds like it. I mean, it's the approach that I think was needed. You know, the car has kind of incrementally been developing over the last couple of years, and now to finally see that world pack kind of class build where it's like, you know, you really are trying to pick up everything from all the different aspects of the car, even the shape, like everything basically is being thought of as a whole complete package. I think that's really what needs to be done, especially at the unlimited level. And with some of the times that you guys are running now, you know, like the fact that you have the production car record at Road America, right? I mean, like these are not, you guys are not slow, right, at this point. And it's not like you're chipping away at easy time anymore. It's really getting into some of that really difficult kind of areas to kind of pick up like a 10th here, a 10th there. I think it's going to be really a game changer, and it'll be really cool to kind of see when the car's back on track and hopefully breaking records.
That's the plan. That's the hope.
That's always the hope.
What about you, Chris? You had your big change last winter, and I know you've always kind of gone at it with a, you know, 1 year make the big change, 1 year kind of cross the T's and dot the I's. So that's kind of your plan this winter,
that's,
I believe.
That's kind of what we did. We went into 2019 throwing everything out and basically doing everything and anything we could think of. We had a completely new motor setup that we ran. We switched over to dry sump. We had a way bigger turbo than I ever thought we'd ever put on our car. You know, huge aero that we, you know, got made from Spage Sports, you know, his time attack splitter, which is unbelievable. Bigger wheels, bigger tires, front and rear, everything was basically changed. Everything was big. It was, you know, we took kind of like that American approach of just make everything bigger and it'll be better for sure. And of course it was a complete disaster. The first event was, you know, I fully expected to kind of come out and just dominate. And I quickly got smacked in the face with reality of having a new car completely untested and trying to catch up to what the car was capable of. So took a car that was, I'm not going to say it was easy to drive, but I always kind of shot for having a really wide usable power band, something that was very manageable in terms of, drivability. And we threw that out the window and we put, you know, a big horsepower number in the car and a turbo, you know, that was quite large for the setup that we're running. Which was still good. I mean, it still made power, but it made power in a very different way than what I was used to. And that, you know, the car became a bucking bull, basically, that was trying to find any a while to really figure out. And it took us a while to really dial even the car in from a suspension standpoint, getting the aero working properly, getting all of the things working in our new ECU, like the traction control and flat foot shifting and all these things. And it was a lot. And we worked away at things incrementally throughout the season. And towards the middle of last season, we started to kind of start getting ourselves pointed in the right direction. And then the car started to get faster. And then towards the end of the season, we were really in a position where we were kind of competing for wins. We still weren't always putting our best foot forward, but I really felt like we had kind of gotten control of things and really kind of reoriented ourselves in the right direction after not having a clue, I think, at the beginning of the season. So when we went into this off season, it was, you know, decided that, you know, we did a lot in 2019, you know, for the 2019 season. For 2020, we were going to be a little bit more incremental in terms of what we wanted to do. You know, I hit the wall at Speedring, unfortunately, at the end of the season, which, you know, led to us having to do a little bit more than we were expecting. But we really didn't want to re-engineer too much because we felt like we had a really good platform to kind of build off of. So the car is going to look very similar to what it did last year. We're stuck with the same aero package. You know, we broke the splitter when we hit the wall. We got the same splitter to replace the old one. No changes. The front end that we're going to be running is the same front end that we ran last year because it worked really well and we were really happy. Some other small changes that we're making are just really around the power delivery and the engine package. So we've, you know, Garrett wound up coming out with their new G series turbos last year in the small frame sizes. And now they've as part of 2019, I guess towards the end of 2019, early 2020, they released their mid and large frame size G-Series turbos. So we're going to be switching GTX 3582 to their G30 900 horsepower turbo. So that'll be really exciting because I think we'll be able to kind of get our mid-range power back into the car and make the car a little bit easier to drive while still being able to kind of make the horsepower numbers that I think we need to make in order to stay competitive with the rest of the field. So that'll be fun. I think that'll make the car a little bit easier to drive as well too, which will be nice. And then that's really kind of the big changes. We're, you know, doing a new braking package in the car, you know, bigger brakes, obviously with the speeds that we're hitting. We never expected to be doing that on an area that we felt like we could improve on. And then with some of the serviceability items, we're trying to make a little bit better too. Like we're putting air jacks in the car to make it a little bit easier to work on it while we're at the track and do some of the things that we need to do a little bit easier when we're around the shop as well too. So yeah, so it's not as drastic as what you're going to be doing with the Integra, but I'm really expecting that with some of these small changes, we'll have a platform that will be really fun, easy to drive, and hopefully that'll get us to some of those records. We were really close with a lot of our goals this past season, and I think this will be that little extra bit that we need to kind of just push us over to the point of accomplishing some of those goals.
I think you're very much on the right track, because I think in a lot of ways you're, you know, when you look at some of the aero rules and stuff like that, you are looking at, you know, you are exploring the boundaries of those in a lot of ways. So I think that what you guys have on the go is fantastic. And I really look forward to seeing, you know, what that car can do with just a little bit more time to just kind of figure everything out, and dial everything in, because, you know, I feel the same way that car was, you know, just so close.
Yeah.
And I think
it's really, really and good. I feel like, you know, if we can get the car back to the point where we can drive it a little bit more and I can have a little bit more time in the car without it constantly braking or you know, being temperamental, that'll also help. And you know, I'm looking forward to being able to spend a little bit more time on track this year, which will be awesome in my
No, yeah, that's gonna be really good. We've got to give a huge shout out to Abe from Slip Angle Podcast, because Abe has hounded us to bring this podcast back over the last couple of years, as well as everyone else. You know, we've had tons and tons of messages. Life has been busy. You know, when we were doing it before, I had a young boy, and as he got older, it became more difficult. And then we had a second this past year, and that got it, you know, that got it very exciting. But you know, with some of these new recording apps and stuff like that, it makes it easier just to do it from home and not have to, you know, have the computer and mic and everything like that all set up. So you know, thanks to Abe for giving us that extra push and getting us to get this going again. And it's going to be on TrackTuned. You know, TrackTuned is going to be kind of like your hub for all things automotive podcasts. So you know, Slip Angle, the OG, are on there. We're going to be on there. C-Class Citizens are going to be on there. And I'm not sure. I think there could be some others coming that are going to be hosted through there as well. So I think that that's really cool. I think it's cool to have a spot where you can kind of, you know, get a whole bunch of different automotive podcasts all together. And
yeah, no, and I really cool. Can't thank them enough for all that. And I think TrackTune is really going to be that place to go for the curated content that everybody's kind of looking for now. There's so many podcasts, you never really know which ones you want to get into, and to have somebody kind of put together a list of really high quality automotive content, I think that's going to be really cool to see and hear.
Well, we have some exciting guests coming up, Chris. Who do we have coming up as our first guest?
So we have Ferris, who drives C6 Z06 Corvette, who actually won Super Lap Battle in the limited class. We also are going to be talking to Jeremy Swenson, who drives another Corvette in the limited track mod class. We may wind up having them together. We haven't decided on that one yet. There's also Mike McGinnis that we're going to be talking to. From Cobb Tuning, and he also has a GTR that he raced in limited class at Super Lap Battle. Who else do we have, Jim?
We got. I'm working on Cole Powelson from Life Motorsports. He's a busy guy. He said he'd love to be on here. He said he has some very exciting things happening out there. He actually encouraged Chris and I to come out and do the podcast in person. So he's got a secret that he can only show us in person. And, you know, sadly, with everything that's going on right now with COVID-19, you know, that's not going to be possible and probably wouldn't have been possible anyways. But, you know, we're really looking forward to getting him on. And because, you know, the stuff that he's been a part of in the last couple of years has been really, really exciting. So the next couple of weeks are going to be really fun. You know, for anyone that's has, you know, car stories, anything like that, that, you know, they think that would be valid to the show, please feel free to reach out. You know, we're going to come back and hit this pretty hard. We're everyone's stuck inside right now. And I think it's great. The people that are sticking, staying inside and, you know, practicing their social distancing and everything like that, is great. And, you know, we just want to give people, something else to do. So, feel free to reach out. I can't promise that, you know, we're going to take everyone. You know, we'll definitely look through the requests and stuff like that and, you know, figure out where we're going to go after these next few guests.
Well, I think this is a perfect opportunity to end our first episode. And we look forward to kind of bringing you some exciting content in season number 2. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much, guys and girls.